ask Greg to share with us this morning, and always blessed to hear him share. So, Father, just pour out your anointing on Greg. Speak through him this morning, God, as he shares with us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. In case you haven't wondered, I like to involve the audience. So here we go. I'd like you to get up and tell two people, I'm so glad you're here today. May God bless you today. Do it quickly. 30 seconds. I'm so glad you're here today. God bless you. God bless you. I'm very sorry, your 30 seconds is up. That's a good sound. That's really a healthy sound of relational interaction with people. Pastor Ron asked me to share, this is really loud, a series on Thanksgiving. And so I entitled it Thanksgiving. A farmer was once paid a visit by one of his city relatives. Before dinner, the farmer bowed his head and thanked God for the food. His relative said in a sarcastic way, "This is old-fashioned. Nobody who knows anything prays at the table anymore." The farmer admitted that the practice is old and even conceded that there were some on his farm who did not give thanks before their meals. And feeling justified, the relative remarked, "So enlightenment is finally reaching the farm. Who are these wise ones?" And the farmer replied, "My pigs." Oh, Lord, have mercy if we don't give thanks. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. It's a story about 10 lepers. You've probably heard the story before, but let's examine it again today. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" We see that in life, in the Christian life, we can't live the life without faith in our Creator, without faith in Jesus. We won't make it. We must have faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must have faith. In Psalm chapter 100, I'm going to read this, you can follow along. Out of the Message version, Psalm 100, out of the Message version. "On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter and sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, 'Thank you.' Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Our God is a loyal God. He's a faithful God. He's a God who understands each one of us. Remember that in Luke, the text was written by Dr. Luke. He was a physician. So he's got a special connection with sickness and illness and everything. He was a doctor, Dr. Luke. And as we look at our text, there's this whole story illustrates six steps of one's spiritual journey. Six steps. And it begins with, number one, an encounter with Jesus. We must encounter Jesus in our life. That's the beginning step. We must encounter the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who says his name is a name above all names. Jesus, a name above all names. And so we begin with the encounter with Jesus. In verse 12 in our text, it says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. You see, the 10 lepers encountered Jesus. They encountered the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as they encountered Jesus, they recognized that Jewish law required lepers to live in isolated places and to tear their clothing, representing mourning. Whenever anyone got too close, they were to cry out in humiliation, unclean, unclean. Sin is like leprosy. We can't cure ourselves. The men suffered physically. At first, they felt a little tired, and at the end result, inch by inch, the body simply rotted away. Leprosy brought separation and then death, and so does sin. That's what happens with sin. And if sin isn't dealt with, if you can't forgive people, it becomes like a root of bitterness, like a cancer within you. We must be forgiving people. Could you say that with me? We must be forgiving people. Another time. We must be forgiving people. Whoa, if someone comes to your mind now, don't put it off. Forgive them. Offer forgiveness. Forgiveness is a powerful statement, a powerful act that Jesus wants us to do. So life had brought these 10 men to a place in their lives where no one else could help them. The doctors couldn't help them. The family couldn't help them. The priests couldn't help them. And so we too come to places in our life where there is no one on earth to help, and we are at a dead end. The only person to look to is Jesus. He's the only one. The only one to look to is Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way in our life. He'll give us the truth for our life. And he's the one who is very, very willing to help us even when we turn our back on him sometimes. He's there for us. He's there for us. He will never say, I've had enough of you. Goodbye. He's always there. His arms are open. That's why the Bible says when we get close to God, when we get close to Jesus, he takes a step closer to us. So are you ready for the secret of a powerful Christian life? Are you ready for this? When we get close to God, when we get close to Jesus, we become more, here's the word, you ready for this? Intimate. Intimate. We can call him Abba Father. When we get intimate with the Lord, we have him in our presence. He's there with us, but we recognize his presence. And when we recognize the presence of God in our life changes. We don't have, you know, the Bible says be thankful. It doesn't say be complainers. Did you know that? It doesn't say complain daily. It doesn't say that. It says be thankful. Give thanksgiving. When we get close to God, we pick up on his character and the way he functions. And when we do that, other people notice and they say, what happened to you? And you get a chance. You get a chance. That's what I call the everyday marketplace ministry. We don't have to go to people. God will bring people to us as we're going through our daily life from Monday through Saturday. And when we meet on Sunday, it's to be energized with the presence of God, to be focused, to encourage each other, to go out into your mission field. So I don't know about you, but we all have a mission field. We all do. If you're a teacher, you got a mission field. If you're a doctor, you got a mission field. If you're a farmer, you got a mission field. If whatever you do, if you go to the grocery store, you have a mission field. When you fill up with gas, you got a mission field. Did you get that? Every place that we go out during the week, we are entering our mission field. So we ought to say when we leave here today, thank you, Lord. Beginning tomorrow, I'm entering my mission field. What would you have me to do? He's not interested in I can't do it, because he said, with me, all things are possible. So if he takes us to a place, he's not going to let us there like an orphan. He's going to accompany us, and he's going to show the way, and he's going to give us the words to speak when we feel so inadequate and not able. He is the one, Jesus, whose mercy never fails. In Scripture, we have some Scripture I want to read up here. 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And also, we have Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Get that? Alive with Christ. Alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God's grace, the grace of God. And then Psalm 103, 1 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. We got a crown on us this morning. A crown of love because the Father loves us, and compassion because he cares deeply about all the details of our life. I don't know what your details are in your life now, but if I'd give you each a sheet of paper, I'm sure you can write down the details of your life. God's faithfulness, prayers, whatever is going on in your life. But don't forget that God loves us deeply. The deep, intimate love of the Father. J. Vernon McGee, a preacher, told this story. There's a boy in my Southland years ago who wanted to join a church, and so the deacons were examining him, and they asked, how did you get saved? And his answer was, God did his part, and I did my part. They thought there was something wrong with his doctrine, so they questioned further. What was God's part, and what was your part? And his explanation was a good one. He said, God's part was the saving, and my part was the sinning. I done run from him as fast as my sinful heart and rebellious legs could take me, and he done took off after me till he run me down. Just remember that God pursues us. You know, God continues to pursue us with all that he has for us. And we might as well face the odds. God always wins. So we've got to finally just stop huffing and puffing and running from God and just say, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And those are sweet words to him because he's saying, okay, you asked for my help, now I'm ready. Now I'll do what I have in store for you. I have plans for you, good plans. Stretch us. God stretches us sometimes. And I know my wife and I, different times in ministry, it's hard to believe, I've been a pastor for 30 years. That's too long. No, that God wanted me to do that. And so we finally gave in to God. And in all those years, we had some situations where we look at each other and say, I have no idea what to do. No idea. Lord, we need your help. We need your clear direction because we've never faced this situation before. And I can tell you that based on what happened, God was always faithful. He always directed. He always gave us the right words. Even though when we were fumbling through life, how many of you fumbled through life sometimes?
You just go through life saying, I don't know. Where are you, Lord? Did you leave me? No, he didn't leave you. He's there. Sometimes we get sidetracked and we get off on the wrong route, and he's got to take us back to the right direction. At one time, we were all separated from God like these lepers. But then we encountered Jesus. In Psalm chapter 42, the Bible says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Now that is a person who's focused. They're desperate. I can't wait till I can talk with you, Lord, again. So I've said this before, but if God wakes you up in the middle of the night, it's all right. You know, go to the bathroom if you have to go to the bathroom, but then just hang out with God and say, thank you for waking me up. You know, I just need to connect with you a little bit. Maybe I've been ignoring you too much. So there's a reason why that happens. Don't say, why bother me? Because God never bothers us. He's got purposes in what happens in our life. It's just interesting that God responded. Now, I don't have this up there, but just listen carefully. God responded to the greatest need, our sin, by giving the greatest person, Jesus Christ, to make the greatest sacrifice, his death, in order to give us the greatest gift, eternal life. That would be one of those selahs in the Psalms or selahs. That'd be one of those selahs. Let me just stop and think about that. You are an amazing God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. I receive that. Sometimes it just takes things like that, and we have to receive the promise. We might know it's there, but we'll say, no, no, it's not for me. But sometimes God just wants us to receive the promise. And then, are you ready for this? Then pray the promise back to him. Say, thank you, Lord, for this promise that I've just received, and just pray it back. Pray it back. These men had hope because Jesus was there. They cried out to Jesus and trusted him to help them. Our one hope is Jesus. Say that. Our one hope is Jesus. Another time. Our one hope is Jesus. Our one hope is not in what I can do. No, we try to live like that. I have those t-shirts. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Our one hope is Jesus. They were a leprosy team who needed Jesus' help. The leprosy team was hanging out together. They needed Jesus' help. There was a spirit of expectancy. You know, if we go into a situation where there's believers and church on Sunday, and we go in with a spirit of expectancy, God will always meet us. God will always meet us. If we go in and say, well, here I am again. I wish I could have slept in longer. No. If we go in with a spirit of expectancy, God will always meet us. And are you ready for this? These are things not in my notes, but anyway. God wants us to model that spirit of expectancy to children. Because when we model that to children and grandchildren, they will pick that up and they'll say, whoa, if they can do that, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. And so we need to recognize that we're modeling Jesus to our family, to our children and grandchildren. I want them to grow up to say, Jesus is my best friend. He's the one who loves me. And so I want to model that. Because regardless, when we live life, children pick up on, when I taught school for 20 years, they would pick up on things, and I would know what their home life is like too, just from having them in class. At Living Hope, we are a team who all need Jesus' help. Now, some of you are from a different church or whatever. I just like you to stay seated, but I'm going to give the ones who normally come to Living Hope, tell three people this. Are you ready for this? Tell three people. We are on the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. We are on the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. Tell three people that. Three people. If you're visiting here, you can stay seated. Hopefully someone will come around and let you know. We are in the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. Tell three people. We're on the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. We're on the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. We're in the Living Hope team who need Jesus' help. Ooh. We are a team, and we need the help of Jesus because we're a team. You know, when you watch a football game, you don't see the guard or tackle or a player saying, I'm no longer in this team, I'm going to go on the other side, be on the other team. You don't see that. We're on the team, and we need the help of Jesus because we are playing the game of life. And when we have Jesus on our team, we are winners. And we want other people to join us and be winners. I got to keep on moving. The story illustrates 6 steps of one spiritual journey. The second step, eagerness for a touch of the Master, that is healing. An eagerness. They called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Together they, now some of these things weren't in your notes because I had too many, so you can write them in if it's not up there. Together they cried out to Jesus for help. They cried out to Jesus for help. In Luke 5, beginning with verse 12, we have another account of leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone. You know what's going to happen. Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. It spread all the more. You want to let people know what Jesus has done in your life. It's an absolute necessity of the Christian life. So where are you? Have you let anybody know about answers of prayer or what God is doing in your life recently, within the last week, within the last month? It's all right. It's all right to pray with the cashier at a store. If you sense that that person's going through a rough day, just say, can I say a quick prayer for you? It's all right to do that. It's all right to pray for the person who takes your money at the gas station. It's all right to do that. You say, wow, you are really getting out there. It's all right to be radical. It's all right to be a radical Christian. Jesus was radical. For him even to deal with the lepers was radical because the Jews didn't want to get close and Jesus touched them. In their difficult situation, their prejudices have been forgotten. The Jews and Samaritans, at least one Samaritan, were in the group, and they desired healing. They addressed Jesus as Master. Their one hope was in Jesus. Our one hope is in Jesus. We too must be eager for a touch of Jesus. We too must be eager, that eagerness, that expectancy for a touch of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just love to receive a touch of the Lord. Just to recognize that He hasn't left me alone. So has God been bothering you too much lately? It's all right. If God's bothering you, then you know that you're going the right direction. On the other side, if the enemy's bothering you, you know you're going the right direction. You know you're going the right direction. If you're facing a lot of battles, you know you're heading in the right direction. You know, there's a reason why the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, in Hebrews 12. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. That's the target. Because He wants to increase our faith. He wants to allow us to shine like a bright light in the world around us. He wants to heal our sin-darkened heart. Some people would say, I don't need anyone to help me, not even God. I could have eventually gotten better by myself in my own strength. But I'm here to tell you that in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do, say it, nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, we might think we're doing things, but in light of eternity, it doesn't amount to anything unless we have God's help, unless God is directing us. D.L. Moody said this, and I quote him, God sends no one away empty except for those who are full of themselves. Another one, the smallest package in the world is a person wrapped up in himself. So, do you desire physical, spiritual healing? Have you called out to Jesus? He is able to heal us physically and emotionally as well as spiritually. We serve a God who heals. I don't understand all the details, what's going on, but I know that God is faithful, and I just take him at his word. And you know, if the Bible says it, just pray that. Pray what the Bible says to where you're at in life. Whatever you're facing, find the scripture that addresses that and just pray it back. Lord, I'm facing anxiety. I just have too much anxiety. I'm so busy right now, everything going on in my life. And then pray it back. Lord, you said in your word, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I'll take care of you. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. Just release me from my anxiety. Just pray it back. It works. It's God's way. The third step is evidence of obedience. In verse 14, the Bible says, He, Jesus, said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Now, when I was studying and read this, I thought, okay, they were all cleansed. They hadn't got to the priest yet, but they were all cleansed. They obeyed. They took that step of faith. And they were going to the priest, and they were cleansed. You would have thought that they would have looked at each other and said, whoa, look at your face. Look at your hands. Look at that. You're healed. And I would have thought, since they were kind of a team that were crying out, if people got too close, that they could be a team that would run back to Jesus. But they didn't do that. It's kind of the way it is in our culture. When things happen and we just push it off and say, oh, that was just an accident or that just happened. We forget about, you know, how we prayed and how God answered our prayer and how we now have an opportunity to thank Him, to thank Him. When the priest was the one to confirm and pronounce the healing of leprosy. This would be the same as Jesus saying to you, I am healing your broken bone. Now go get x-rays to verify your healing. These men were required to take a step of faith. A step of faith. That's what life is about. Taking a step of faith. Lord, I believe. Forgive me for my unbelief. Sometimes we have to just pray, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are the one who is faithful, and I take you at your word, and so forgive me for any unbelief I've got. There are times when we just need to trust God with the outcome and step out in obedience before it actually happens. Before it actually happens. Presently, they were still diseased. They had no miraculous signs or feelings. Is our faith so strong that we will act on what God is saying even before we see any evidence of what God is doing? There are times when we just need to trust God, just like we said up here, with the outcome. Very important. Something happened as they were walking. They began to get healed. When we take Jesus at His word, something happens to us. We begin following Jesus' marching orders with a passion. Passion. God wants us to have a passionate pursuit of Him. A passionate pursuit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take us. Lord, I just want to grow more and more a person who is passionate about you and pursues you. Not me, not my plans, but your plans, your way. That's what I want. Jesus is able. I was thinking about a story of our family. We lived in the state of Oregon. All of our children were born in the state of Oregon. And my grandma wanted us to come back over Christmas. So we had, we didn't have the money. We did not have the money. And I thought, okay, well, how's this going to work out? So my grandma gave us half of the funds. And my wife's aunt gave us the other half. And so we had the money. So we went back. And I think one of our children we had to pay for. And maybe a couple others were too young. They got free. But anyway. So we said, okay, Lord, we're going. But God provided. Because on the flight, I can't remember if it was going or coming back. My wife has all the details. You can talk to her. But anyway, they were overbooked. And when flights were overbooked, they would just give you a voucher. But for some reason on this flight, they said the first, oh, I don't know how many people, that get up and as soon as they said that, I start running down the aisle. And my wife said, you should have seen behind you. They were coming out from all over the place chasing you. So I got there, and I think we had 3 paid tickets, and they gave us cash. They gave us cash for those tickets. Cash. And the next flight out was, I don't know, it was 2-3 hours. You know, it wasn't that long to wait. And the cash that we received, are you ready for this? It was $50 more than we needed to take care of the bill. He gave us $50 to spare. Just amazing. That just gave me goosebumps, you know, because God took care of the need. So we must learn to listen to the Lord, and when he speaks to us, we've got to learn to listen. Listen to God, because he does want to speak to us. And it could be that if you haven't been hearing God, busyness and distractions have taken over. So we have to get to a place where we listen to God. Because he does want to speak to us. He speaks to us when we read his word. He speaks to us when we're in worship. He wants to speak to all of us, no exception. That's God's way. He wants to speak to us. In Deuteronomy 13:4, this is in the New American Standard Bible, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Serve him. And I love this last word, cling to him. Cling to him. It's like fabric sheets you put in the dryer, or when you get things out of the dryer, you separate them and snap, crackle, and pop, or whatever, you know that noise, snapping noise. Clinging. We walk in faith to his commands. So don't wait for the miracle before we walk. Move in faith and watch the hand of God in action. Jesus is able to set us free from sin, from destructive habits such as, and you can fill in the blank, smoking, alcohol, drugs, overeating, defeated attitude, you fill in the blank. Number 4, we have an example of thanksgiving. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were kind of a half-breed, part Jew, part a mixture, and the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans. And here this person that went back was a Samaritan. The Greek has the meaning of speaking a megaphone of praise and thankfulness. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. Would you agree that's a good place to hang out? At the feet of Jesus, yeah. Yeah, really good. Just reading the Bible, everything that happened at the feet of Jesus. A lot happened at the feet of Jesus. And he never said to people at his feet that, hey, I've got a busy schedule today, come back tomorrow. Nope. He always had arms that were welcoming. at the feet of Jesus. The Samaritan was cleansed of both physical and spiritual leprosy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens." I repeat that. Thank God no matter what happens. Again, thank God no matter what happens. Because sometimes we feel, "Lord, if you don't answer my prayer my way, then I'm not going to thank you." We have that inside of us, you know. And God says here, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. The art of living God's way, you know. The art of living an abundant life God's way. Not my way, but God's way. Oh, I'm guilty. I have so many t-shirts where I said, "Lord, this is not how I thought it was going to work out, and I'm very sorry, but I'm going this direction." And after different things had happened, I was back. And I said, "I'm back. Forgive me. I went my own way." Forgiveness is powerful. Sometimes we got to go like a dog with the tail down and just go back and just say, "Okay, here I am again. I acknowledge I messed up. Will you forgive me?" The leper who returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. The Samaritan people, they were foreigners in the eyes of the Jews. They were had mixed marriages between Jews and Gentiles. I believe the Samaritan who was healed, I believe the Samaritan ran to Jesus. It doesn't say the Samaritan ran. It just says, but I actually believe the Samaritan was so excited. You know, sometimes you get so excited you can't contain yourself. You know, some of you, when you're out hunting, or people that aren't here hunting, you get so excited you can't contain yourself. And other people, when they catch a big fish, same thing. Or other people, when the Eagles win, you're beyond excitement. But anyway, excitement, just overflowing. Well, God wants us to be excited about Him. So excited at what He's doing. Just like this Samaritan man. This Samaritan leper would have no reason to expect the Jewish teacher like Jesus to pay attention to him. None. Much less heal him. The people who are the most thankful to God and love Him the most are those who are aware of the great mercy. Great mercy. They're aware of the great mercy shown to them by God. The great mercy. There is a leper coming back to Jesus. An artist drew that. And thankfulness. Thankfulness. The great mercy. Who am I that God would see fit to do that in my life? Who am I? Well, I'm here to tell you, you are a child of God. And God designed you. He knit you together. He wired you in a certain way. And we're all wired differently. You know, we all respond to situations in a different way. Some of us are wired to be early morning people, like when you, early in the morning, like 4 in the morning, that's a great time to wake up. And others are wired like, "I'm just so excited that I can stay awake and I'm good to go at midnight," or whatever. Wired different. We have different personalities. We're all wired different. Great mercy. Great mercy. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Then we see that number 5. These are the fifth step of one's spiritual journey. After we see what God is doing in our life, we began by encountering Jesus. And we get to the point where we simply exalt Jesus. He came back praising God in a loud voice. A loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. I remember one time we were at a church up in Belleville. And we were attending church, and this guy just became, I think he had been going to church, but he just had an experience with the Lord, and he was beyond excitement, you know, beyond excitement. And his wife discovered that she had a new husband, and she wasn't ready for that. It was kind of a sad situation because she wasn't ready for all the excitement that he had. And basically, she just wanted him to be, quote, normal, like he was, just going through the motions. But he was beyond excitement, beyond excitement. And I'll never forget him. I just thought, wow, I want to get to that point. I want to get to that point. And excited about the Lord, everything that God wants. If my focus is on my relationship with Jesus, worship will be a natural response to God working in my life. It's all about relationships. That's what it is. It's all about relationships. And so, there's something that I'm going to save till the end. Clyde is going to come up with me, and we're going to invite you to participate in something. But I'll just save this comment here to the end. One man turned back to worship the Lord who had healed him. He just had to give God the glory. How often do we take our blessings for granted and fail to thank the Lord? Relationships. It's all about relationships. Whenever you find genuine praise and worship of God, thanksgiving will be there also. We need to learn to find Jesus' feet, to give the highest that we can offer and place it at His feet. That means stripping ourselves of pride and, like this leper, fall at the feet of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says this, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, a sacrifice of praise." Did you get that word? Continually. That means on and on and on. It's just not one time a week or one time a day. Continually. A car cuts in front of you. I did a lot of driving when I worked for Turkey Hill Dairy. I was all over the place. Philadelphia every week, Pittsburgh, all over. And I saw drivers that did crazy things. And sometimes I didn't respond in a Christ-like way. But anyway, when that happens, you're going to have a situation when you go shopping or driving in this busy season that something will just bug you. A person will cut in line, maybe in front of you. I don't know. It could happen. Lord, thank you for this person that cut in line in front of me. Bless this person. They must have a special need, and I give this person. You know, begin praying for the person. The driver who cuts in line, no signal, nothing. Or the person who comes out, and it's a merge, yield, and they don't understand the word yield. You know, a lot of people forget about the word yield, and they just go right out. That's our opportunity to pray, because people are out there revealing who they are inside. So instead of complaining, grumbling, and shouting at them or pointing your finger at them, I'm talking to myself too. I've done that. You know, God wants us to be patient, compassionate, and be His instruments to let people know that we care and to pray. Why can't we pray? The last one I want to look at is establish faith. That's foundational in life, in being a mature Christian. Establish faith. We keep on going back to the rock because our rock is Jesus. He's the rock of ages. Establish faith. Keep on going back to your first love. Pastor Ron talked about Revelation and how some people were lukewarm and they lost their first love and everything else that happens. And God wants us to be an on-fire Christian, an on-fire believer. That doesn't just happen all of a sudden. We'll have days that we're a wreck sometimes. You know, we get out, take that first step, and we have an attitude. I'm suggesting if you take that first step this week and you have an attitude, go back in bed and say, "Lord, help me not to have an attitude. I need to take that first step and be thankful that I'm alive today. Thank you for the gift of life." It'll happen, so just remember I said, go back in bed, take that first step, and choose not to have an attitude, but choose to have an act of thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of life. established faith. Your faith has made you well. He alone received cleansing for his soul. He alone saw Jesus as God. While others are satisfied with the physical cleansing, he realized, I need more than that. I need more than that. There's more beyond. More beyond. So, the Bible talks about how we need to be contented, satisfied with what God has given us. But on the other hand, God wants us to get closer to Him, to take that step closer in faith. Lord, I want to be... Someone mentioned this morning about being hungry for God. I want to be hungry for You, Lord. I'm going to pursue You with everything I've got. Reveal to me what I'm doing in my life that is a distraction to You. Did you hear that? It's all right to pray that prayer, but be aware, God will call you on it. Lord, reveal to me, reveal to us what is a distraction in my life that's keeping me from pursuing You and being more hungry for You. I don't know. You'll have to face God. Let the Holy Spirit work with you because He's already working with me. We see that the other nine came near enough to bring about an outward change, but the thankful leper received a new heart. A new heart, an inward change. So we see the six E's in one spiritual journey. The encounter with Jesus, then we encounter God. We want more. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We want more, thirsting for more of God, the living water. So that's the eagerness for a touch of the Master. And then the evidence that God is in our life, that God has made a difference. And the example of thanks living. And then we exalt Jesus and our faith is increased. Our faith is established. Now in closing, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for the way in which You were at work in the story of the lepers and all the truth. And Lord, if I've said anything that You didn't want me to say, just take that from our memory. I just pray in Jesus' name that You would direct in how we close this service. Have Your way, Lord. Thank You for the gift of life. Thank You for being our life giver. And empower each of us with Your Holy Spirit for such a time as this, in this day and age. Help us to be shining as bright lights in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask if you would do one thing this week, one thing. And if you're willing to do this, I just want you to stand up and then sit back down. Okay, here's what it is. Will you write one letter of thanks to someone who has impacted your life this week? Just one letter of thanks. Not Facebook, not email, a good old-fashioned letter. Yes, it'll cost 50 cents. 50 cents. But do you know people love to receive mail? Did you know that? They love to receive mail. So if in your life, you're saying, Greg, you're too old-fashioned. Well, so be it. But anyway, I love to receive mail. Just one letter. Children can do that too. So you can let your children, if you have children or grandchildren, just one letter to someone. It doesn't have to be 5-10 pages. It can just be a paragraph or short. But just one letter to someone who has impacted your life and thank them. Be specific how they've impacted your life this week. If you're willing to do that, just one letter. If you want to write three or four, that's fine. So be it. But just one letter to someone who's impacted your life this week. Just stand up and down if you're willing to do that. Thank you. Now, Clyde, would you come up? This is part A. Now we go to part B. Okay, just one letter. You're on, and I'm off.
As you know, this is totally unrehearsed here, so, and we are asking for the Spirit to lead. Greg talked about team. And so I think maybe we should have a team meeting where we encourage one another through the stories of our lives, how God has helped us, how God has ministered to us, and how he has taken us or taking us through different leprous conditions in our lives. So I'm opening it up. I have some things I can say, but I prefer others also share. Good morning, Michael.
Yes, good morning. Something that I've been struggling with recently is my relationship with God. I would confess that I've had some difficult situations spiritually lately happened in my life. And I was in a prayer room with the people early this morning, and I was mentioning this concern that I have for myself in my life. And while we were praying, God had pointed out a small verse in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 2, where it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." God has spoken to me but through saying that that is like the essence of the gospel and who we are in Christ. Because of the law of the Spirit of life is the gospel, showing our relationship with Christ is through the power of the Word of God, through the gospel that's given there, and through what Christ has done in our lives and in our heart, and has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, to me, talks about the flesh. The first part talks about the spirit. The second part talks about the flesh. And God has spoken to me then, and I say, thank you, God, for revealing to me this verse and to saying, Michael, all you have to do is listen to me and be obedient to me. And I just praise God for this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. God bless. Anybody else? John.
I know a lot of people don't know me here. I've only been coming here for about a year. If you know Rudy and Brenda, I'm the youngest of three, and Aaron's the youth leader here now, and his youngest brother. But today's an important day in my life because on this day a year ago, I accepted Jesus in my heart. And so, thank you. So I just wanted to share a little bit just about what God saved me from. And I grew up in a church, and I believed in God, and for a while I was passionate about him, and I'd go to church and everything, and I loved it. But it was around like middle school when I just got into a wrong crowd of people, and ended up just bringing me down to a dark road. And I eventually started doing drugs when I was around like 13, and I was into pornography when I was like 12. So I had a lot of strongholds on my life, and I just continued, just smoking weed and doing stupid stuff throughout high school, and just never trying, never doing anything, just getting terrible grades, getting in trouble all the time. And around my senior year, that's when I like started doing cyber school, and I had a friend that lived near me that did that too, and we were both kind of like selling drugs. So we had a friend that lived out in California, and he would ship us like pounds of marijuana through the postal service to my house, to my parents' house, and then we would sell it, and it made a lot of money. And eventually he ended up getting caught by the police, and it was a week before he turned 18, and his parents told my parents that they were going to do like an investigation, and then the cops knew like that we were what we were doing, and that they knew it was coming to my house, and my name was on the package. And so they told me that if they charged him as an adult, they would do an investigation and charge me, and like the minimum fine for having like drugs extradited through the Postal Service is like 15 years in the federal penitentiary. So I was really scared, and you know, my parents got a lawyer, and I was really, really afraid, and I just stopped eating. I dropped like 30 pounds. I just smoked cigarettes. That's all I did for like 3 weeks, basically anticipating one day cops was going to show up to my house and take me away, and I was going to spend the next 15 years in jail. But I prayed a lot, and my friend, they charged him as a juvenile, and they didn't do an investigation. So God brought me out of that, and you know, I promised God like I would never do drugs. I would, you know, follow Him, but it wasn't enough. I still continued down that road. My friend, unfortunately, we kind of went our separate ways, and he really got into drugs heavy, and he was on probation. He couldn't pass any drug tests, and he started getting put in jail because he kept failing, and then he started doing harder drugs and get into heroin and pills, and so he's not doing too well right now. And you know, and I started working at this job, and I kind of stayed away from the guys I was doing that with, but I met this girl, and we started dating, and she became pregnant when she was 19. I was 18 at the time, and I was like just graduating high school, and so her parents kicked her out when they found out she was pregnant. She moved in with my parents, and then she had our son when I was 19. She was 20, and I just was like, I was really lost, and I was really scared. I just like, I was sober, but I had no idea how I was gonna like provide for a child. I wasn't making good money at my job, and I was really lost, and I became really depressed, and it just wore off on her, and we went our separate ways, and we broke up. And after that, I started hanging out with all my old friends again, doing the same old stuff, doing drugs again. We ended up getting a house together with like four guys, and all we did was just party. We were selling drugs in our house, and I turned 21, I just like was drinking almost every day. I was getting completely blacked out drunk every night, doing cocaine and pills and all kinds of stuff, and hanging out with terrible people, and I just went down this terrible road, and I was not, you know, I was still in my kid's life, but I wasn't watching him that much, and I would always, you know, abandon, like, spending time with him to hang out with my friends. I wasn't paying child support, and I just was really lost, and I was really depressed, and so it was a year ago that, it was the last night that I went out to a bar and just was with my friends, and I just got completely blacked out drunk till I just couldn't, I was passed out, and I went with a group of friends, but I ended up the night by myself, and I was just like laying on the street puking, and eventually was able to get a Uber home, and I got home, and I passed out my grass, and like my roommate came out and like helped me in. I woke up, and I had no idea anything would happen that night, and I didn't have my phone, I didn't have my wallet, I didn't know where my car was, and I just like, I had nowhere else to turn. You know, I was thinking about, you know, just call my brother for some advice, or trying to talk to somebody, but I was like, you know, God, I just got on my knees, and I just asked God, like, you know, if there's more of this, like, people tell me there's a plan for my life, but like, I don't know what it is. Like, if you got a plan for me, like, you need to reveal it, because I don't know how long I want to be able to live this way. You know, I was just so depressed, and that's when I picked up my kid, I went to my parents' house, and they were actually getting rid of a piano that they were getting rid of on Craigslist, and they were posted on there for free, and these like three guys came, and they were picking it up, and they were they were putting it on their trailer, taking it away, and my mom, like, she started just questioning them, like, you know, what do you guys do for a living? And they're like, you know, we do construction and stuff, but they said that they were Christians, they were young guys, they were my age. One guy actually had like a kid that was born a couple weeks before mine, and they said that they were like starting a ministry for drugs and alcohol addicts, and they were all saved from drugs and alcohol, and you know, and I told them, well, you know, hey, I'm struggling with drugs and alcohol too, like, is there anything you can do to help me? And you know, they asked to pray for me, and then when they did, they laid their hands on me, and that's when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, right in that prayer on my front lawn, and I was just reborn in that moment, and everything that I was dealing with, you know, pornography and drugs, I was smoking cigarettes, and that day, it's gone. That all those addictions have been completely gone. it's just, I mean, it's incredible what God, you know, has done in my life, like just waking up that morning and just, I mean, that was the lowest I've ever felt, and God just brought me up and gave me life, and, you know, a year later, I'm here worshiping, playing the drums for him, and just being able to, you know, spend every day with him, you know, for an eternity, and I just, he has given me so much to be thankful for, so.
The grace and mercy of our God. It's not any greater for him than it is for me. It's not any greater for me than it is for him. Anybody else? This is a chance to minister to your team members.
Oh. Yeah, I know many of you know this, and sometimes I then think I shouldn't say it again, but I was doing the same thing he was, but it was like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And I am so thankful. He's just beginning that. I'm like 30 years later, and I spent some time with my family. I took my 86-year-old uncle to see my 85-year-old dad out to California and just caught up on some family stuff. And we have a lot of addiction in our family. And it just reminded me how grateful I am. I mean, God just plucked me out of that. And the same thing. I was on with a living with girls party and flashlight reading the Bible at night because I did grow up in a church and just asking God to show me if he was real. And he did this like awesome, miraculous thing that I asked him to that night, the next morning at 8 o'clock. And so I've been changed ever since. And it's not always easy, but it's awesome, even when it's not easy. And so I feel really thankful. And sometimes when we're praise and worship, you'll see me jumping up and down here. Greg was talking about that. It's because I still feel rescued. I still feel that. And he did that for me. And so sometimes just raising my hand isn't enough. I just am like, God, I'm so grateful for what you've given me, teaching me how to love and love my children. And I have cousins that are all over the place, and they're not taking care of their kids, you know. And it makes me so sad. But I did have the opportunity, always there, to give my testimony to one of my aunts and to assure that my 86-year-old uncle that went at me, that he knows Jesus and he's confident of where he's going. So God is good, and I feel very thankful.
Amen. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That's part of your part, you know, reasoning with him. Anybody else? I have a few things I want to share yet. It's from a little bit of different aspect of gratefulness and thankfulness. As I spoke earlier about the Appalachian Trail, you know, there are some steep ups and downs, and I mean steep. There are many valleys and swampy areas and mucky stuff that you go through, but that's life. And one of the worst parts of my life was a lawsuit that I had no choice but to go through. I was being sued. And this is like 17 years ago now, but I still remember many things, a few things at least, that God showed me through the process of the trial. One of the things was to experience the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul mentioned, you know, that he wanted to experience the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a stupid prayer to pray, because it was not pleasant at all. But yet, as I went through this lawsuit, you know, I experienced a part, a little part, of what Christ went through, the accusations of an innocent person are really hard to accept. our Lord Jesus Christ was the most innocent person, and he was accused so severely that he was sweating blood on my behalf, on our behalf, on behalf of the human race. So, in essence, I experienced a little bit of being used by God in a aspect in the courthouse, I guess, the court system, of being dragged through the mud because God said he wanted to use me to show his mercy, his love, and his justice to someone that needed to see it. And you know, I thought, thanks a lot. This really hurts. You know, and I asked the question, why me? More than once. And then one time I asked the question, why, Lord, what do you want me to learn out of this? And it was that I respect you enough, Clyde. I respect you and your character enough to allow you to go through this so that I might possibly reach another person for the kingdom of God. You know what? That changed my thinking a bit. Didn't make it any less painful. But it showed me a God a little bit different than what I was used to. He wants to use us in very unexpected ways, in unpleasant ways, so that his kingdom can come to this earth today, tomorrow, whenever. So as God challenges you with different circumstances in your life, be aware of his purposes. Ask for his purposes, because they are there. Okay, any other? Father, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for allowing me to be your son, a son through the blood of Jesus. Thanks for using us each individually to meet the various needs of the peoples around us with the news that you care for each individual and you will supply their needs, you will take care of their wants, you will heal their hurts so that you can glorify the Son, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.